On today's Queercast, I'm giving some special plugs to some special friends, plus my special friend, my very special friend, Kelly Simpkins, my girlfriend, is on the show with me again. We are talking about comments and who has called in and commented to the show, and Richard Knight Jr. taking us to the movie Hancock. Thumbs up, thumbs down, what did he think? And are you a femme? Do you think you're a femme? Have you ever been a femme? Would you like to be a femme? Well, the Femme Conference is coming to town, and I am taking you behind the scenes to tell you all about it. Big show.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here, and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Windy City Queercast, show number 223. I'm Amy Matheny. You're laughing.
And I'm...
Who are you? You don't have to talk into the mic.
I'm leaning in. I'm Kelly Simpkins.
You are Kelly Simpkins. I made you laugh because right before I started recording, I said we've had a comment on our What is the Superior Donut show that we did earlier in the week.
Yep.
And I said, somebody said you need to try a Krispy Kreme, Lucy, and said that, that she prefers a white Long John. And that made you laugh because I don't even know what the hell a white Long John is. It sounds kind of dirty and disgusting. You're like howling.
Well, this is not howling, but a Long John.
You're holding it in because you know we're recording. You would be howling.
I do. I would be howling. I was howling prior to this turning on. A long john is a long, it actually looks very phallic.
Yeah.
It's like a like long.
A penis. It's a white penis with the blood soaked out of it or something.
Oh, please don't say.
Like an embryonic.
No, it's a donut with like a white.
It's a fucking donut.
It's a fucking donut. No, please don't say with the blood soaked out of it. Don't ever say that phrase
again. Okay, I won't ever say
Whoa.
It.
God.
It's you, just have you had a white Long John?
We had a donut. We
Is this why you're laughing?
We got Long Johns. Like, Long John was the donut. Every time we went to the donut shop when I was a kid and growing up.
So you and Lucy.
I feel like
Lucy said. Lucy said my dad ate Long Johns, so that's what we ate. I don't even know what the hell one is.
That's it.
It's not like we had the, what do you
it's
call
like
them? Not Ho-Hos, but what are the little white powdered donuts?
A powder donut?
No, but they were in the long tube and you get them in school. Cake donuts were like Hostess cupcake donuts or Hostess donuts with little powdered sugar on them. That's not a Long John.
No, a Long John is a donut. Well, I can't say donut.
It doesn't have a hole in it.
It doesn't have a hole in it. It's a long, solid...
Is it twisted?
No, it's not twisted. It's flat.
It's flat.
And then it has chocolate on top or other things. It's just picture a long oval with chocolate or white on it. I've never had a white Long John. I've only had chocolate or chocolate.
Why do they call them a Long John?
I don't know where what from from whence the name derives.
So glad we have a queer podcast so we can talk about
donuts
and Long Johns.
Long Johns, yeah. That's my sister ate nothing but Long Johns.
All right, well, Stacy, your secrets are out here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we can tell you. It's good to have you back on the show. I'm back from
Tennessee.
It's
good to be back. I know. You had a good trip. You had peaches.
I had peaches. Tennessee peaches. I had the best peaches and the amazing. Oh, they were so amazing. They were, you know, up in Chicago when I get peaches throughout the year, I start thinking they're going to be good because they smell good in the store, but they don't
have
the right. Well, that may be true, but they don't have the right consistency. Like when you bite into one, it's just not easy.
Too mealy.
No, they're too hard.
Too hard.
And I'm telling you, I had this peach.
I'll just keep repeating what you
thank
say.
Thank you.
Mealy. Hard.
Peach. Like Sesame Street. Or Electric Company. I bit into this peach, the first one. My mom said she got some for me, and they were sitting in a basket. I bit into this first peach.
And it was in a wicker basket?
It was in a wicker basket, so I could breathe.
Wow.
And it went everywhere. I mean, it was so... First of all, the inside was almost red, which is very unusual, but they were
Long Johns biting into a peach. It goes everywhere. This is like a sex cast.
It was so good, Kelly. It was so good. I can't even tell you. I wish I could have brought peaches back here. But I think that's...
You could have.
I don't know if you can go through security with peaches in the airport. I don't know.
Why? What would you have a tiny little
liquid
bomb
gel
in a peach?
I don't know.
They're juicing. Can I bring them through?
They were so...
3 ounces.
They were so good. I ate a ton of food, but to offset that, I actually walked 8 miles a day along this...
This is a brag cast.
It is a brag cast.
I had the best peach. I worked out.
It was so good, though, but I enjoyed walking so much while I was home and by the river and... There's this path, and then I would walk from my house down to the path by the river. It was great.
You're
great.
Telling me this as if it's the first time we've ever spoken.
I'm telling everyone like
I know.
It's the
She's
first
telling
time we've
all.
I'm sharing my life. This is what a podcast does.
Yeah,
what did you do while I was gone? Just miss me.
Pined and rehearsed.
Well, that's good. Nothing you want to brag about?
No bragging necessary.
Oh, you're just that good, huh? Mm-hmm. Just that good. Well, can we brag about a couple of people I want to... Plug.
Yes.
These are shameless plugs. Or butt plugs. Or just a plug.
Oh, stop.
Oh, stop. Alexander Billings will be a butt plug. I'll give her a butt plug. So.
Lube.
Alexander Billings.
Lube.
Is. I don't know where she is. She's in Fresno or Romania right now. They're both very similar and yet very different.
It's a long bridge.
It's a long bridge. But, and yes, I mean the Romania. She's looking for Nadia Comăneci. I think she should make a documentary called Looking for Nadia Comăneci.
My dad used to say that name a lot when we were kids.
It's just fun to say.
Nadia Comăneci.
It's like Sacagawea and Pocahontas. These names are fun to say.
He didn't say either of those.
Oh, Sacagawea, my favorite word. Anyhow.
You're a very bizarre lady.
I am. So here you go. Alexander Billings... Who doesn't brag, so I didn't know this news. Alex, you could have told me since we just talked last week. Alex is featured in the July and August issue of Positively Aware. And it's the first time ever they've done a whole, I mean, it's groundbreaking, truly, exploration of HIV in the trans community, which obviously Alex has been a huge voice for that. She's been a cover girl to The Advocate when they were doing a trans issue a number of years ago. Gosh, that's been a while now. And of course, you all know her from the podcast, but Alex has an illustrious career of activism, HIV and AIDS activism, also an actress featured on Grey's Anatomy and ER, stage actress, cabaret singer. She's just a force.
Huge talent.
She's a huge talent. And
a lovely lady.
A lovely lady. So it's the July-August issue. And hey, folks, this is out by TPAN, the Test Positive Aware Network, which is one of the best things the city has to offer and in the United States for HIV and AIDS care and information. And if you want to get a copy, you can just call 773-989-9400. That's 773-989-9400. So everybody be looking for that too. It'll be out as well.
You can't get it anywhere? Where can you get it?
Well, I'm sure you can go to the TPAN website too, but...
But you couldn't like go to a store or a newspaper?
I don't know.
Huh.
I'll have to find that out. I'm not giving good information, or you're asking me questions I don't know the answer to. So obviously we don't prep these beforehand. There is no script.
Except okay, a phone
I didn't
number.
Mean to throw you off.
I don't know. I just know that it's coming out. So I'm sure some people probably subscribe or get it. But if you'd like to read, there are many, many conversations about the trans community and the HIV community.
And is there an interview with Alex in it?
Yeah. It's a That's big exciting. Feature with her. I think
Alex,
she's on the
cover.
Alex,
we love you.
I love you. Alex. Go ask Alex.
She's 10 feet tall.
And then I want to make one other plug. Our fabulous editor, the woman behind the curtain, behind the scenes, who makes us all sound like we know what the hell we're doing.
And like human beings.
And like human
Normal
beings.
Voices. Die!
Human beings. Dylish.
Oops.
Who is Dye Bodden. You can get her new book. She is a writer. She's a published writer. I don't know what book she's on, 4, 5, 6. She's written a lot of books. I can't even fathom writing
one. It's amazing,
isn't it? It is amazing. It's amazing, amazing. And her new book is called Tomahawked. And
Whoop-ah!
That's my soundbite for it.
That was good. You had a gesture with it, too. It was kind of like the Atlanta Braves gesture, but with a little bit of a whip-ass, kick-ass. Whipping
had nothing
gesture.
Nothing to do with the Atlanta Braves, but I'm glad that you could wrangle
I'm thinking
that
about the
sports.
Tomahawk. You know, they
Tomahawked!
Do the but it's called Tomahawked, and we're going to have Di's personal
I just tomahawked you.
Website.
We should bring that into the cultural lexicon now.
I just tomahawked you?
Yeah, it could
I
mean,
like it.
It could mean something
what
really...
What mean?
Like I just... Fucking just
what powed you?
No, you can't use another weird word to describe a weird word. You have to use normal language.
I just took you down.
I just took you down. I just tomahawked your ass.
It's like Lil Mama on a Lil Mama on the
It's Lil Mama.
Lil Mama on the Shane Sparks and Randy Jackson dance crew. Kelly watched the dance crew for the first time and fell in love with
I'm
Lil
ashamed.
Mama.
I did fall in love with Lil Mama. She's fierce. Check
Hip-hop
it out.
Hip-hop choreographer.
With her green nails and her green visor. And she...
I was feeling it. I was digging it. Fix the face.
You have to see it to believe it.
Yeah. It's genius. But anyhow.
But back to Di.
The book is called Tomahawked. We're going to have it linked. And you should read this book. You haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it yet. And you have.
I have. I got an advanced
Tell
copy.
Tell me what it's about.
It's a coming-of-age story.
Aren't they all?
No, they're not. Well, Di really, you know, I've teased her because I've known Di for, God, how long have I known Di? 8 years now. And I teased her because I would read her books, and I know her as one of the most sunny, happy, positive, it's all good people I know. And man, she writes some crazy shit. Like
she's
some,
saving a lot of money on
therapy.
She's saving
a lot of money on therapy, writing some like pained relationship lesbian fiction. And I kept saying to her.
Are they all lesbian fiction?
She has no characters that aren't lesbian in her books.
How
no,
exciting.
I'm teasing you. Yes, they're all lesbian.
I don't mean that,
fiction.
But I mean there's always a lesbian.
Yes. They're a lesbian.
Main character.
Yes, yes.
In all of her. Okay.
Lesbian romance fiction. I guess, is what I would say.
But that might be a coup, Di. The next time, every character has to be a lesbian.
That would be cool, huh?
That'd be very cool.
Could be called Lesbos.
Lesbahawked.
Lesbahawked.
That would just be like the new lesbian hairdo.
That would be. I think I've seen that. I think I've seen that hairdo.
I've seen some bad ones.
It's kind of like the faux hawk and the mullet slammed together. I don't know.
No.
Not good?
No, I'm stopping the car. Keep going.
Di, edit that out. Anyhow, no, you can leave it in. So it's about a coming of age story. Oh, wait, let me go back to my story. So I told Di, as her friend, I don't, you know, I'm always just surprised because this part of Di that I know is not usually a lot of what I see in your books. And so she actually, I mean, this is a shameless plug, but she dedicated this book to me because
I was
she said,
bring that up.
"Well, I did before you, as I do with most things."
It wouldn't have been a
braggadocious
shameless plug
before,
had you waited
yeah.
like 2 minutes.
Yes, but I couldn't quite tell this without saying that, which made me cry when I got my advanced copy in the mail.
I saw
but,
it.
But it's you know, and she said that she hoped that I saw more of her in this book, and you know, it's really true because it's this beautiful coming of age story at kind of a retreat cabin community on a lake. Lake Tomahawk is where the name comes from. And, you know, a girl who is a tomboy and lives there with her aunt who's basically raised her and a free spirit. and the other girl whose family ventures to this place every summer to spend summer vacation time. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to tell you more than that, but it's really beautiful and it's really sweet. And she's just a really great, it's a great summer read. It's a great beach read. It's a great book to give a friend. So I'm plugging it because I love Di, but I'm also plugging it because you'll enjoy reading it. It'll make you laugh. And
makes me feel very proud of her.
I know. I do, too.
It's really exciting.
I remember you leaning over to me going, are there sex scenes in this book? When I was reading it one night, and I was like, as a matter of fact, there are. And Kelly was like, can Di write good sex scenes? And I'm like, as a matter of fact, she can. It's more information than I want to know about where her brain goes, but there you go. So anyhow, it's sexy. It's fun. It's great summer read because it feels summery in terms of its setting and people on vacation. And so
go get
I could see it being made into a movie. It would have been a movie that Angelina Jolie would have played the lead character in years ago, back in her, like, what was it, Foxfire days back then.
Yeah,
not that tortured, but if she could have kept it light and a little more earthy. Yeah, I'm serious. I'm just telling you, it's good little, it's a good little book. Good summer read. So pick it up.
Go get it. Go get tomahawked.
Hey, right now we're going to tell you about some theater that you should see, and then we'll be back. But we can tell you what theater to see, and also Richard Knight Jr. is taking us to see Hancock in his movie review. And did he like it? This is the new Will Smith. So I don't know. It's another one.
Did he get Hancocked? See, I'm going to just add an apostrophe D to everything now.
Did he get Hancocked?
Tomahawked.
Who knows? Let's see what Richard Knight Jr. thinks.
The critics call it a blockbuster, a phenomenon, a show that makes you laugh, cry, and think. Audiences call it the most thrillifying theatrical experience of a lifetime. Now, at Chicago's Ford Center Oriental Theater, you can discover for yourself that everything you've heard about Wicked is true. Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz, the musical that changed Chicago for good.
Bosch's favorite team, the Wizard and Lamb.
Are you ready to meet the Wizard? Call Ticketmaster.com today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 30th, 2008, you're in Chicago's Culture Club.
Infectious, White Hot says Time Out Chicago. Gender Bending Magic says Perform Inc. And Windy City Times agrees it's Moon Dance for a Marvelous Night. Mid-Tangent Productions presents their fourth and final production of the underground hit A Midsummer Night's Dream, A Queer Tale. Playing July 3rd to August 3rd at the National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Get your tickets at TIX.com. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind. A Midsummer Night's Dream, A Queer Tale.
Now playing at Steppenwolf in the Upstairs Theater, Dead Man's Cell Phone by Sarah Rule. The Reader says it's hilarious and delightful, and the Tribune calls it fearless and surreal. Dead Man's Cell Phone, a quirky modern adventure about a long-distance journey into the mysteries of life. For tickets, visit steppenwolf.org.
Writers Theater presents The Lion in Winter by James Goldman, directed by Rick Snyder. The Wall Street Journal calls it one of the finest shows in recent seasons, not just in Chicagoland, but in all of America. And the Tribune calls it a juicy revival. For tickets and more about The Lion in Winter, log on to writerstheater.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. I'm not exactly sure what to make of Hancock, Will Smith's latest contender for box office prominence. The ads would have you believe that the film is a special effects-driven action comedy that focuses on Smith as a drunken, cranky superhero who hilariously wreaks havoc every time he reluctantly steps in to fight crime and on the efforts of Jason Bateman as a down-on-his-luck ad man who sees a public relations opportunity in rehabilitating Smith's public reputation. That takes up about the film's first 20 minutes, ending with Smith volunteering to serve jail time for all the public damage he's committed and laws he's broken. But then, strangely, when Smith is called back into superhero action, the movie moves into much darker territory. It becomes clear that Smith and Bateman's wife, played by Charlize Theron, have something for each other, something pretty strong. And since we have not been prepared for a soggy love triangle between his lonely superhero and an endearing but not very successful husband over his luscious but cagey wife, its introduction and the odd twists and tone that follow throw one off balance, way off balance. The picture, not exactly a laugh riot to begin with, never finds its footing thereafter, and though a slew of top-dollar action set pieces follow, none of them reverberate. Worse, the movie never returns to its comic roots and then abruptly conks out at 90 minutes. Hancock is a strange hybrid of a movie, a film that never congeals and is the first misstep that I can recall Smith making since he refused to kiss Eric Thall on screen in 6 Degrees of Separation 15 years ago. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Not at the Movies Minute.
So, Kelly.
Yes.
We have an interesting interview coming up here later on today, which I think will be very fascinating to talk about. And I'm going to start the subject with you a little bit right now. There is a conference coming to town, and it is all about, it's all for, by, and about femmes.
Wow. I was caught up on the first phrase. There's a conference coming to town. I was just, where was it going?
I don't know. Of
people going, there's a conference coming to town.
Conferences bore you?
No. I was thinking
if you're
of
like
a general,
into a conference.
No, this
like.
Sounds like an amazing conference. Yeah. I want to go to this conference.
You do?
Yeah, I really do.
So it's all for femmes.
Well, I don't know if I'd fit in, but I'm very curious about, you know.
How do you identify yourself?
I don't see, this is the hard thing. I think we have two things to choose from.
Yep.
And I think that's really difficult.
Okay.
Because I have felt like, I don't know that I've ever felt femme. I don't know that I've never said that I was femme. The labels make me crazy a little bit.
Yep.
But I have often felt more butch, more masculine, a little more kind of gender fluid.
Yeah.
Non-denominational, if you will,
yes,
than anything else. So it's a hard one for me. I hate that there are only two slots that we can fall into, but I certainly don't fall into the femme slot if I had to choose.
Yeah. Is that because you think that in your identity, or you think that in your external, or you think what?
I think the... I think... These are very hard questions. That's why I need to go to this conference.
It's a 3-day conference and to answer just these questions.
Get some answers. Or not even to get some answers, but just I'm just very curious how they talk about that, how they talk about those labels and those identifications. And it's not even, I'm not even curious about, like, is it internal, is it external? For me, I would say I have always felt more, probably more male than female, but the older I get, I think I'm getting more in touch with my female side, my feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
And that has only, I feel, begun to happen externally, even internally, in some ways, in the last probably 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel femme.
Well,
I mean,
that's goes you, without saying.
And you say it goes
take
without saying.
Take a peek
saying.
At the picture.
You say it takes, you know, yeah, take a peek or whatever. But it's funny because in my interview with Kathy Young, you're going to have here in just a minute, you know, something that she said really made my head go, huh, and talked about the fact that it's not about externals. And you could have the most feminine-looking person ever and them not be a femme. And I thought, well, now that's kind of interesting, because I would say that, you know, my earliest memory of actually talking about even what was a feminist, I remember in college, I think college was really the first time I heard the word feminist and explored what that word meant. And I really, call me naive, and I was, as I entered my freshman year of college, I was book smart, but I was absolutely naive, that I really thought a feminist was somebody feminine. You know, I really did. Like, to me, there was kind of no difference between the feminine and the feminist. How could somebody who wasn't fully feminine not be fully about women and womanly things, right? And I remember when I was
pretty naive, baby.
Well, I don't know that it's naive. It's also, I think it's a contradiction to think somebody who believes and really looks for a feminine aesthetic isn't empowering the female and therefore the feminist, you know, pro-woman. And it's very interesting because when I was a senior in college, much different. I had already now slept with a woman. I was defining myself, definitely leaving that I'm bisexual, moving into I'm a lesbian. I had taken many women's studies courses by the end of college. And I was asked to play a character named Natalie Clifford Barney. And Natalie Clifford Barney was one of the women of the left bank, if you will.
And I will.
If you will. Hung out with Gertrude Stein, but would have been of the time period, of the epoch of Gertrude Stein, of Juna Barnes, Edith Wharton. These were all women that, and many other, Colette, all these women. And Natalie Barney was this uber feminine woman. I mean, she wore her hair in a Gibson Girl hairstyle. She was extremely young amongst these circles. She was extremely wealthy and from New York, but living in Paris. And all she did was spend her money on amazing, mostly women or queer artists, and had salons. So she wasn't a great artist, but she provided a forum for great artists to do their work. And she slept with tons of women. She was a notorious lesbian. So it was interesting because she wore these traditional Victorian dresses. She hated anything masculine. She and Gertrude Stein like butted heads, because Gertrude Stein was all about being the husband and my wife is Alice B. Toklas and all this. So it really got me thinking, you know, about this whole, could the most radically feminist thing be to be the most radically feminine? I don't know. You know, I don't think that that's the way I am, but at times when I've seen myself be feminine, I've never wanted that to seem like I didn't have strength or masculine characteristics of power or that were beyond sexuality, that were beyond my sexual wiles, that it was just another way to express oneself.
Right. I understand where you're going. I have never equated feminism with a look.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, you did at one point, if you're saying, like, if you thought a feminist was feminine, that's...
No, that was my ignorance, but I think feminist has a look. I often would think feminist doesn't wear makeup. I would say feminist does potentially not shave because it would be succumbing to the patriarchy. I would say feminist might not wear a bra. I mean, this is probably the feminism of the feminist movement that I am equating it with. Right. I don't know what the new feminist is. I mean, were there a lot of people your age that you knew calling themselves feminist? I know women 10 years older than me that wouldn't call themselves a feminist.
Yeah, I've had mothers both of those maybe paved the way. I don't know that I didn't meet a lot of those people until I moved to New York, really. So yeah. That was kind of my first foray, and I was 20 and 21. It's not that I didn't hear that word. And we might be getting off of our Butch Femme conference talk.
It's okay.
It's not a Butch.
We're going to have the conversation. So.
It's a Femme conference.
No
Butch is being talked about.
Well, we're going to ask if the Butches are allowed.
But who is the... Dorothy Allison is going to be there,
Dorothy
right?
Allison is going to be there.
That would be interesting.
I don't know. I just think there obviously is a breadth of conversation to have about
there
these
is, although
roles
I have never
that we
met
have.
An ultra-feminine woman who considered herself Butch.
Well,
ever.
I don't consider myself Butch. And if
no,
you're
no,
not
but
a
what
femme,
that woman is saying, like the most feminine woman could potentially not identify as a femme.
Right.
I've never had that experience.
But maybe
before.
I'm not a femme. I mean, this is what this interview made me think. I look like
well,
a femme.
Well, then
but
you will soon a, find out what their definition of femme is.
Yeah,
but they
don't tell us. I mean, they want you to come to the conference because it's not singular. It's
right.
not like I can give you
well,
six
and,
adjectives and it just...
And I don't mean that. I don't mean that it's as...
But I'm just
as
saying it makes you think...
Simplistic as that.
It makes you think with as driven as I am or as headstrong or, you know, I've definitely had... Not things I'm proud of, but, you know... bulldozing my way through situations in life, that those aren't very feminine characteristics. It's not like I've kowtowed to many things in my life.
But ultimately,
is that
it's an internal slash external self-identification.
I guess so. Boy, you understand it better than me.
I don't know that I understand it.
I don't know. It's just strange.
I've had enough complication with understanding my own self, and that's still not done yet. So I don't know that I could try to get inside anyone else's head and understand them. I just know that this kind of binary system that we have in the lesbian community is fairly limiting, considering what's happening with the generations coming up.
Yeah.
And the fluidity with which they can kind of cross genders and you know, understand themselves in a really kind of majorly different way than I feel like we were ever allowed when I came out.
But I do think that on a grassroots level, femmes have less of a place to connect and speak about that than butches. I think even the king world allows the butches to talk about their exploration. I think if you're considered feminine, I think that it creates potentially that you're not really a dyke. You're not really a part of the community. If you don't have your hair a certain way, if you don't dress a certain way, you know, for as much as whatever with the L word, most every lesbian I know wants to be Shane, you know, or wants to be perceived as Shane.
Really?
Don't you think? Oh, I do. I think that's more than most. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, but most people, most lesbians, I think, want to walk through the world thinking that people think you're confident, I can sleep with whomever I want, or I can succeed. I don't mean that aspect of Shane, that she's kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm off point. But I'm just saying, like, I think there is a...
But I think the reason people connect to her is that she's both.
Yeah.
She has both, and I think that's extremely provocative to a lot of people.
But I think Jennifer Beals has both, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know why I'm talking about the L word, but it's like a common...
Well, because that's the more... It is a more...
Angelina Jolie maybe has both. We speak of her earlier. I mean, that's why people can identify with her. Butch, yeah. And extremely sexy and feminine and beautiful if she needs to be. You know? I don't know. That's what you are, Kelly. That's the fluidity.
That's very sweet.
Aww.
So, but I hope it... I mean, I'm really interested to hear the podcast, and maybe I'll get to go to some of the conference. But
yeah, it's right
I
here
hope
in our
it's
backyard.
It's a conference that will... include and unite a community of lesbians and gay. I'm sorry, I have a mosquito bite.
Okay,
I'm itching and she's stopping me from scratching.
I am, because they're just going to hear this wash of
noise. I apologize. I have a mosquito bite. I apologize.
I have to train her and teach her. See, this is where I become the butch in the relationship. Stop moving your hands.
But that we can be a lot of different things without judgment of the other, and I think there is some of that.
But an opportunity to explore both sides, I think, is what this conference is about, which is really cool. Or explore this side of identity, which is really super cool.
Yeah, and especially as you said, I think you're right. I think there is a lack of kind of more continuity and community and meeting place than there are with women who identify as more kind of masculine or tomboy, or that is more the norm in the lesbian community. So hopefully it will bring a lot of people together to... you know, for their talk about it.
Well, let me tell you, we're going to go to the interview with about the Femme Conference, but before we do, we have to go to the news, and somebody who I also think has the butch and the femme qualities, probably has explored both to the nth degree, Madge, Queen Madge is in the news. So got to do the news with Kirk Williamson joining me, and then we're going to go to Kathy Young about the Femme Conference coming to Chicago.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player.
Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player, yeah.
A little friendly competition never hurt anybody. Unless that anybody happens to be the person you're covering.
Bring the pain.
Hands, no. Blazing speed, no. Unresolved anger after being cut from the football team 17 years ago? Big time.
I still have issues.
When it comes to two-hand touch, you leave it all out on the field. Your blood, your sweat, your dignity.
Dignity is overrated.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, backyard bruiser. The way you play the game will always leave us in stitches.
Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The U.S. Army's Criminal Investigation Command has ruled lesbian Army National Guard Corporal Sierra Durkin's death a suicide. Durkin was found dead in Afghanistan last fall from a gunshot wound to the head. Durkin's family had publicly voiced concern over her death because she told family members that she was concerned about her safety. One family member also thought that Durkin may have been targeted because of her sexuality, although no evidence supported that speculation.
Michelle Obama connected the prejudices that GLBT people and Black Americans face last week in New York. The wife of presidential nominee U.S. Senator Barack Obama stated in a speech that African Americans and gay and lesbian citizens have marched on the journey toward full equality. We are all only here because of those who marched and bled and died from Selma to Stonewall in the pursuit of a more perfect union.
Longtime activist Rhea Carey was recently appointed as the new executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. It took the National Gay Rights Organization 4 months to name a replacement for former executive director Matt Foreman. Carey served as Foreman's deputy executive director for the past 4 years.
A second Memphis police officer has been fired for his role in the beating of a transgender woman. Dewana Johnson is a transgender prostitute who was allegedly beaten by cops while in custody. The beating was caught on camera. So far, the officer that beat her and the officer who held her down while she was being assaulted have been fired. Johnson told local media that she plans to file suit against the city of Memphis.
The first Cuban Pride Parade took place on June 25th, but resulted in a number of arrests. Participants planned to march to the Ministry of Justice, but were stopped by police. Several marchers were beaten and arrested.
Republican presidential nominee John McCain has secretly met with a national gay rights organization a number of times, but details of the meetings are being kept under wraps. McCain has met with the head of the Log Cabin Republicans, Patrick Salmon, but the personal meeting was kept off of McCain's published schedule, and what was discussed is being kept secret. Salmon later confirmed that the Log Cabin Republicans have had a series of productive meetings with McCain's campaign and anticipate more.
Madonna might be seeking a divorce from filmmaker Guy Ritchie. Supposedly, Madge has lined up divorce lawyer Fiona Shackleton, who was involved in the divorce between Paul McCartney and Heather Mills. Madonna and Ritchie have been married for 7 years. So far, the pop singer's spokesperson has refused to comment.
Singer Boy George was denied a visa by the State Department for his tour of the U.S. this summer. The singer is currently under investigation for allegedly kidnapping a male escort. He was also convicted in 2006 for lying about a burglary. The State Department's decision forced the former Culture Club lead singer to officially cancel his U.S. tour, which was supposed to kick off in Aspen on July 10th.
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Welcome to Can Camp!
America's premier summer camp for GLBT adults. Dozens of daily activities like swimming, softball, and tennis. And special evening programs every night.
The tea dance was a lot of fun.
I love the barn dance. That's my favorite part of camp.
The talent show. I absolutely love the talent show.
Remember when summer was the best time ever?
Well, it still is.
Camp Camp.
August 24th through the 31st. Visit campcamp.com.
Hi, it's Megan Mullally from Will and Grace.
I've been all around the world.
Oh my God.
Had my pick of any.
You're a big Liz.
You'd think I'd be happy, but I'm not.
You know who you are. You're the loyal Windy City Queercast listener who always thinks I should leave a comment, but you don't. Guess what? Do it. Go for it. Carpe diem, folks. Post a comment. It's easy. Just go to WindyCityQueercast.com and leave me a comment, and I promise I'll get back to you. It'll be good. We'll start a conversation. Maybe we'll do lunch. Maybe you'll have lunch while you listen to my Queercast. And butch. These are terms we have heard to provide distinction in the lesbian community. Are the terms identifying enough that it reflects one's identity? I mean, I would classify myself that way as a femme, and I'm not entirely sure what I'm even committing to in saying that I'm a femme. Well, the Femme Collective is going to provide a forum for all femmes to explore just what it means to be a femme at a conference August 15th through 17th right here in Chicago. So you need to plan your plane tickets and your trips if you don't live here. And there will be world-renowned femmes coming to town to speak, perform, and host panels. Kathy Young is the programming committee chair for the conference, and I'm thrilled to have her here to talk with me about the topic of the femme. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Good, Amy. I'm glad to be talking with you.
I am too. Tell me, define the word femme for me.
That is the question, isn't it?
It is.
I could spend a whole 3 days of a conference doing just that.
And that's what you're going to do, right?
Exactly. That's what we're doing. What in a to you know just quickly what it's about for those of us on the collective is an identity and really differentiating that or saying that it's more than being a feminine queer person. It's a standalone identity. It's a self identity, and a whole lot more goes into that in terms of how we view ourselves and operate in the world around us.
So why a conference? To ask all of those questions, to really explore that identity?
Definitely. And to have a chance to network and build community, share resources, share information about what we're doing in our own local communities. One thing that is really amazing to me about this conference is how we're drawing from all around the country and even other countries and coming together and sharing about this.
Now, is this the first year?
No, this is the second biannual Femme Conference. Our first was in 2006.
Okay. And it's the intention now is this for this to become a new annual conference and to grow and become a time for femmes to come together, meet and network and all of that.
Definitely. Although we think maybe every 2 years is about ambitious enough, but what we'd also really like to see happen is more spin-off in terms of folks doing things in their own communities locally on a more frequent basis.
So let's give some of the stats about the weekend. We already said
sure.
that it's August 15th through 17th. It's going to be here
yes.
in Chicago. And it's going to be at the Wyndham O'Hare, which is 6810 North Mannheim Road. That's right near the airport. So you just, if you're flying into town, it's right there. You have four keynote speakers who are all very intriguing. Tell me who they are this year.
We have yeah, like you said, quite a variety. One is Dorothy Allison, who we're very excited about. We also have Julia Serrano, Veronica Combs, and in addition to that, we have two featured presenters that are one local, Cece Carter, and the other coming all the way from overseas, from Sweden, Ulrika Dahl. So we're very excited about that. In addition to that, we have 33 different workshops or panels or research or Skillshare presentations.
Now, what would some of those topics be? I mean, what would be a panel or what would be a Skillshare?
Yeah, we have things ranging from talking about domestic violence and how it impacts our communities to medical issues to performance and an art exhibit, Skillshare on something like making pasties for those who are involved with burlesque. So really quite a range.
Yeah. And, I mean, do you think that these are panels and workshops that are unique to the femme community and not just the lesbian community in general?
I think in some ways they may be unique. In some ways they're certainly not. They're issues that span across communities, but our particular slant is how they impact femmes. They're presented by femmes for femmes. So
now,
that's what makes it different. Too.
So that begs the question, are butches allowed at the conference?
Totally. We really want to emphasize that this is for anyone who identifies as femme and allies, because we really want to build bridges across communities, and we want allies or anyone who's interested coming to learn and participate.
Now, I know you also have performers, and I've heard that there's going to be a film fest. How are those aspects of the conference going to function? Are they going to be at nights? Is during the night they're going to be a speaker and a dance or performance or things like that?
Yeah, we have the various workshops running throughout the day, pretty much a 9-to-5 sort of a schedule. And then we have several different performances scheduled for in the evening at different venues throughout the city. The films will be running consecutively with the other sorts of workshops. So that's, and it's all up in our schedule on the website.
Yeah.
So there's really a lot of events taking place.
You know, with shows like The L Word, I think about how much flack there is about those women, or there has been, especially I think in the first season when it was like, we're getting the first ever lesbian television show, drama television show. And so many lesbians in media and blogging, a lot of places were... gave so much flack, saying, well, that's not representative of our community. And I'm wondering, do you think that's because there were so many femmes? And does that somehow mainstream the femme aspect of the lesbian community in a way that separates the femme community?
Yeah, I think the way Hollywood portrays our communities, unfortunately, is very different than the way we live them. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that the L word can get to the distinction between feminine appearing versus people who actually claim a femme identity. And those things can be really different.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what we really are going to be talking about and exploring is about how the identity of femme, like the identity of queer or lesbian or butch, is about a lot more than just appearance. It's mm-hmm. about the meaning it has for the self, a way of being in the world with others and in the community. Those kinds of things.
So you're saying, like, if I don't know, I have long hair, I like to wear makeup, and I wear dresses a lot, and I might identify as femme, but there might be an aspect of my identity that's absolutely not femme whatsoever.
That certainly could be. It also could be that you might appear all those ways and not claim the identity femme.
Yeah.
You know, it might not have meaning for you.
See, this
or
is so fascinating.
Could someone...
You could
Go
walk
ahead.
Into this convention thinking you're a femme and walk out knowing you're not. Or you could walk in thinking you're butch and walk out realizing you're actually a femme.
Well, I don't know about that, but hopefully you'll come to it and leave with a broader understanding of what femme means to the people who identify that way and the various issues involved.
Are there any characteristics that you can kind of say are what's the word I'm looking for? Any characteristics that are seemingly fitting for the femme? Is the femme usually defer to a more dominant, or because you said you could be feminine and not be a femme. So this is what I'm trying to see, you know, what some of the characteristics that one would say, that's how I identify as femme.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to come up with a list of generalities, because every time I do, I can think of someone who identifies as femme who doesn't meet those.
Right.
So, for example, I know femmes who identify as tops and dominance in their relationships. I know femmes with short hair. You know, so it's just any time we try to come up with something that is, that's what it means to be femme, you know, someone else will prove the exception to that. Right. Certainly it's about, in the way we're conceptualizing it for the conference, is about people who identify as queer and are reclaiming femininity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
in some way that's meaningful to them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You're one of the press releases that went out. A quote came from your media chair that I want to ask you about. It said, "This conference is an exciting opportunity for femmes and allies to come together and build community." I totally understand that. And then it says, femmes are positioned uniquely within the culture to speak to these issues of patriarchy and oppression. Why is that? Why are we, as femmes, positioned uniquely?
Well, I think there's the...
I know it's not your quote, but what do you think she meant?
Well, what that would mean to me, mm-hmm. is, if I said that, would be that I think, unfortunately, people often assume that being femme or femininity is about the way that's constructed in the culture of patriarchy. Mm-hmm. When for the femmes that I know, it's really about reclaiming that and examining femininity and really transforming it in a way that's empowering.
Right.
So to do that in someone who operates in the world and often gets assumed to be part of the heterosexual dominant culture, but to speak to that and correct those assumptions, that, you know, that can be a really powerful act.
Well, and yeah, and I think, you know, that was one of my big questions is that, you know, I think that with the femme community, and I haven't been to your conference yet, so I'm going to say that I think I identify as femme. You know, there is an aspect of that we can pass. You know, my girlfriend and I discussed this, and though I think at various times, I don't know that she'd identify herself as femme or butch, but I definitely know in her 20s she had an aspect of the way she dressed, her hair, her attitude, of also being in her young 20s and living in a big city. She would have definitely identified more as butch. And she said, you know, you don't know what it's like because you pass so easily and so readily. And there's a less threatening aspect that I think is maybe what people are referring to when they watch something like The L Word, just in appearance. Like, it's somehow less threatening to be femme than to be butch or non-femme lesbian and walking, you know, around the world. And, you know, I've always felt that it was a really big responsibility. I don't know if that's the right word, but a responsibility I had to always let people know I was gay. You know, it's kind of a joke about me, not that I don't have a podcast too and have been on the radio for 10 years, but to always, some of my straight friends, you know, when I meet a friend of theirs or something, I remember one time a friend of mine said, yeah, well, you know, your friend told me that within the first 3 minutes I'd know you were a lesbian. You know, because that's just, I guess, always been important for me to be seen as who my identity is, even if the physical way I dress, where I wear my hair, things I enjoy might not steer people to the community. Do you think that's a problem, though, of the invisibility that femmes represent? Or do we have more of a responsibility to give voice to our sexual identity or our gender identity?
Yeah, I think you're touching on really big issues. And I think that invisibility was a lot of what sparked some of us to form the collective and get the conference planning going in the first place. Mm-hmm. And for me, I agree with you. I feel like I have that extra responsibility to out myself. For me, passing doesn't feel like a good thing, mm-hmm. because along with that comes a lot of risk too. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, eventually be outed, mm-hmm. and you live an inauthentic life. Mm-hmm. If people never really know all of who I am or are making wrong assumptions about me, that's not how I want to live.
Yeah.
And it's my little piece of activism every day, you know, mm-hmm. to actually make that point, to let people know who I am and what community I'm part of.
So tell me, yes. What is the Femme Collective? I guess my question kind of led us into the creation of that, but what is the Femme Collective and how was it started?
Well, it started actually when some of us attended a conference on femininity. I think it was in 2005. And we started talking about how what we really wanted was something about femmes and not just about femininity. There was some overlap, but we started just kind of brainstorming about what we would like to see. And so from that, we kind of formed a group that began planning the first conference and did it all as a collective, meaning we were part of a steering committee. We made certain decisions as a group. We would get a vote on it. We could vote yes, no, or hell no. it was just an amazing process, a very frustrating process at times because it was all done long distance on conference calls. and took us about a year and a half to plan the first conference. It was amazing. Of that group, five continued on to work on this conference, and we've added five new members. So it's really exciting how we've kind of, you know, grown and shifted over time, but kind of kept that mission going. And that's what we would expect doing something like this on a volunteer basis. You know, people can only devote just so much time to these kinds of activities.
Yeah.
And we want to keep getting new people involved.
Yeah. Well, it's really going to be a fun weekend of exploration, probably a lot of good lady watching and networking and all of the above. And the theme of the 2008 FEM conference is the architecture of FEM, which I guess is a lot of what I've kind of been asking Kathy about today, like kind of what is the structure of a FEM? I mean, what is her architecture and all that word means by design? Who is she? And maybe that's as unique as perspective and architecture that we see in the world. So FEM 2008, the architecture of FEM, is an international conference celebrating queer femininities. It is right here in Chicago, folks. So if you're here listening to the podcast, how great, because you're right here. If you're within driving distance, you know, save up those gas dollars and come on in, or take the train in, or hop a bus in, or choose to fly here, because they're going to be right near the Chicago Wyndham O'Hare, August 15th through 17th. And the Wyndham O'Hare is at 6810 North Mannheim Road. It's right near the O'Hare International Airport. Registration is going to cover all of your conference events, all of them. And if you want information or to register, you can just go to their website, which I will have linked on the show notes here on the podcast. But it's www.femcollective.com. And Kathy, thank you so much for being on with us, and I hope you have a fantastic conference.
Thank you, Amy.
Hi there, I'm Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. The summer heat has arrived and the beaches, including the nude one, are now open, so I hope you'll pack your bags and join us for a drink on a patio here at Toronto's Gay Village. It won't be just the weather heating things up in the city this summer. Performances like Dirty Dancing, Evil Dead the Musical, and Avenue Q will be keeping things hot on stage in Toronto this summer. Visit www.seetorontonow.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
So Kelly, thanks for being on with me.
Always
again.
A pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you here for a week.
Nice to have you here.
Of shows. I mean, you're with me here every week, but you're not always on the podcast.
Yeah, it's really nice to be here.
People like you on the show.
Long John.
They stop me. I'm going to start calling you Long John because you're 6 feet one.
True.
I could call you Long John.
You could.
You could be my white Long
it's
John.
It's much better than Lurch. As
it's
they
more
used
better
to call me.
They used to call you Lurch.
People
you rang.
Yeah, that's what people used to do to me. They used to walk by me in the halls and just go, "You rang."
Did they really?
They did.
Did that scar you?
It was a very difficult childhood.
Aw.
Yeah.
My tall girl.
Very tall. Very early.
So very sweet. It kind of breaks my heart.
Kind of
imagining
breaks my
you
heart.
In junior high. I mean, my brother was really tall.
Dude, I was like
5'11"
when I was like 12 years old.
That's
it
my
was
brother.
Not a pretty picture.
I saw the pictures. It's like all these short kids in the elementary school and junior high pictures, and my brother like towering over them.
Yeah.
By a good
I was always
foot.
In the top row with the boys, with the basketball
oh my
players.
God.
We had a good time back there,
God,
though.
I love you.
Yeah. Didn't have to have a pocketbook. I was hidden by all the rows in front.
You're a little femmy girl in the back row wanting to be a butch.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's what you are. It's all right. I love you no matter what you are.
Both.
And I said it on the podcast.
Woo!
Let's go have a Long John.
Okay, Long John.
And I want to say thank you to Kevin, who emailed in and this past week. Great to hear from you. And also to Jay, who was really excited by the trans conversation that Alex and I were having. So keep listening. We do get the emails. You can always post a comment, folks. And I hope everybody has a great, great weekend. And a happy 4th of July, Independence Day. Be butch, be femme, be trans, be a gay boy, be a tranny boy. Be whatever kind of person you want to be. That's what we're about. Be queer.
Yeah.
Even if you're straight, you could be a little queer.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast.
This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast, queer and now.